Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27. Understanding Material Nature. Text 13. Evam trivred ahankaro butendriya manomayai swabhasar lakshito nena sad-abhasena satya drik evam trivrid-ahankaro bhutendriya manomayai svabhasar lakshito nena Sadabhasena satya drik evam trivrid ahankaro utendriya manomayai svabhasar lakshito nena Sad abhasena satya drik evam trivrid ahankaro bhutendriya manomayai svabhasar lakshito nena Sadabhasena satya drek. Evam, thus, trivrit, the threefold, ahankara, false ego, bhuta indriya mana mayai, consisting of body, senses, and mind. Swabhasai, by its own reflections, lakshita is revealed anena by this satabhasena by a reflection of Brahman satyadrek the self-realized soul. Translation: the self-realized soul is thus reflected first in the threefold ego and then in the body, senses, and mind. purport by Srila Prabhupada. The conditioned soul thinks, I am this body, but a liberated soul thinks, I am not this body, I am spirit soul. This I am is called ego, or identification of the self. I am this body, or everything in relationship to the body is mine, is called false ego. But when one is self-realized and thinks that he is an eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord, that identification is real ego. One conception is in the darkness of the threefold qualities of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and the other is in the pure state of goodness, called Shuddha-sattva or Vasudeva. When we say that we give up our ego, this means that we give up our false ego, but real ego is always present. When one is reflected through the material contamination of the body and mind in false identification, he is in the conditional state. But when he is reflected in the pure stage, he is called liberated. The identification of oneself with one's material possessions in the conditional stage must be purified, and one must identify himself in relationship with the Supreme Lord. In the conditioned state, one accepts everything as an object of sense gratification. And in the liberated state, one accepts everything for the service of the Supreme Lord. Krishna consciousness, devotional service, is the actual liberated stage of a living entity. Otherwise, both accepting and rejecting on the material platform, or in voidness, or impersonalism, are imperfect conditions of the pure soul. By the understanding of the pure soul, called Satyadrik, one can see everything as a reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A concrete example can be given in this connection. A conditioned soul sees a very beautiful rose, and he thinks that the nice aromatic flower should be used for his own sense gratification. This is one kind of vision. A liberated soul, however, sees the same flower as a reflection of the Supreme Lord. He thinks, this beautiful flower is made possible by the superior energy of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it belongs to the Supreme Lord and should be utilized in his service. These are two kinds of vision. The conditioned soul sees the flower for his own enjoyment, and the devotee sees the flower as an object to be used in the service of the Lord. In the same way, one can see the reflection of the Supreme Lord in one's own senses, mind, and body, in everything. With that correct vision, one can engage everything in the service of the Lord. It is stated in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that one who has engaged everything in the service of... Wait a minute. That one who has engaged everything, his vital energy, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words, in the service of the Lord, or who desires to engage all these in the service of the Lord. No matter how he is situated, is to be considered a liberated soul or satyadrik. Such a man has understood things as they are. Okay, so we will take a break. I will check the Hindi Zoom, which is, that's the Russian Zoom. That, oh, I see. Oops. Acha, okay. We are no longer in the Hindi Zoom. I wonder how that happened. That, just bear with us. We will edit this out of the we will edit this out of the video at the end. Here we go. Hindi Zoom. All right. So, just a moment, devotees, it won't take long. We are broadcasting in 5 languages. Sometimes complications occur, I'm afraid. Gosh, you know, we had it all set up. And suddenly, things went out of whack. All right, so we're back. And prayer. Prayer is required in Krishna consciousness, in life. Prayer is required. Now, this thing keeps bleeping. Stop the thing bleeping, I know. It's one of them. So I hope, devotees, you can see it all okay in whatever language you are seeing it. I will now, so, Hare Krishna, let us read the verse again. Evam trivrid ahankaro bhutendriya mano mayai Swabhasaya lakshito nena sad abhasena satyadrik. Translation. The self-realized soul is thus reflected. First, in the threefold ego, and then in the body, senses, and mind. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharya Shatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchkap Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha. Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. The broadcast device, is it in the window?
Yeah.
It's in the window. Okay. Yes, devotees, so Lord Kapila is continuing his very interesting analysis of the situation of different people, different types of people. Yes, in relation to Krishna consciousness. So, some people are situated in one way, others are situated in another way. The materialistic people are situated in a conception, I am this body. This is their sense of ego. Ego. I am. What am I? So they are thinking, I am this body. And not only they are thinking, but we are also, as aspiring devotees, you all know it's not so easy, but as aspiring devotees, we are all situated, we have been situated on the material platform for a very long time. It really has been a very long time. And as a result, the propensity for material identification has become very pronounced, very strong. And here we are, we're trying to practice Krishna consciousness, and we are practicing. We are chanting 16 rounds. We are following the principles. We are engaging. Many of us are engaging morning to night in devotional service. But still there's this tendency to identify with the body, or if we put it in another way, we have yet to perceive our spiritual nature. We accept the understanding. This we've mentioned over the last few days, that we accept the understanding, which is presented, of course, in Bhagavad Gita, as it is the first lesson of Lord Krishna is just that we are not these bodies, we are eternal spirit souls. This is extremely well known to us. But to actually perceive, that's another thing. Then at the other end of the scale, right at the other end of the scale, is some devotees who are able, however often, sometimes or maybe not always, but definitely from what we read, they're sometimes able to actually see the Lord and as directly as we communicate with each other, they communicate with the Lord. These things are going on. These things are going on. And in between, well, there is a substantial space in between. In between material consciousness, I am the body, and even beginning devotees, you know, okay, all right, I accept I'm a spirit soul, but it's not totally clear. It's just, it's a type of intellectual conviction, spiritual intellectual conviction. Between that, I mean, what to speak of between the conditioned soul and the most elevated devotees? But between the neophyte devotees, sincere, serious neophyte devotees, and the most elevated devotees, there's quite a bit of ground to be covered. Yes, we must retain enthusiasm and, yeah, based on conviction and a certain amount of experience. I think we've all had some experience of Krishna intervening in our lives. Oh, Krishna, definitely. So, to keep the faith, despite the challenges. Sometimes there are challenges. I mean, not just sometimes. But sometimes there are quite serious challenges, put it that way. Other times they're just, you could say, normal challenges. But what Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing here, and the verse is talking about, let me just read the verse again. The self-realized soul is thus, reflected first in the threefold ego of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and then in the body, senses, and mind, reflected like that. So Srila Prabhupada, well, at first, he really focuses on this point of the understanding point of who am I? I am what? I am what? And therefore, how do I perceive everything else in terms of what I am? So Prabhupada goes into that this conditioned soul thinks I'm this body, but the liberated soul thinks I'm not this body. I'm spirit soul. And then to take it, of course, a step, and a very important step further, the liberated soul, or the soul engaged in devotional service, which includes ourselves, thinks or should think and must definitely cultivate the thought that not only am I not this body, not only am I spirit soul, but actually I am the eternal servant of Krishna. This is really, for the neophyte, for any devotee, but here we're talking about coming to grips and becoming situated properly in Krishna consciousness. So therefore it's very important to become situated in this sense of ego. I am. I'm not the body, I'm spirit soul. And as spirit soul, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And to really meditate and keep that focus. And then while interacting with the world, people, things, to try to cultivate the understanding that, for example, when we deal with people, and it could be other devotees, it could be anyone, people, to maintain the conception that this is an eternal spirit soul also. This is a devotee. So with other devotees, we must respectfully interact with them, accepting them as devotees, even if sometimes, almost inevitably, anyway, let me not say that, even if sometimes they do something a little otherwise. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, if that happens, you know, certainly it does happen sometimes with some. But still to keep the idea, this is a devotee who's trying in this very difficult material world, extremely difficult material world, and to at least maintain respect and not fall to the level of just emotionalism, just getting carried away. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he would have to correct, sometimes he would correct devotees very strongly, but he would always do it in, I mean generally, or to always, he would do it in a very focused and constructive and thought out way to really address whatever was the problem with the devotee. And not just, as we say sometimes, not just to let off steam as an opportunity to just vent our own emotions. Because if we do like that, that can be destructive. Not only for the other person that we fly off the handle with, but for ourselves. And this is, it's extremely dangerous. If we get caught in some sort of too extreme type of mentality, and we get caught in that, and it's continuing, then we must know our Krishna consciousness is in danger. Because how many times did Prabhupada make the point that practicing Krishna consciousness, rendering devotional service, trying to apply all these things in our lives, is like walking on the edge of a razor? How many times did Prabhupada say that? And that, of course, is aimed at people like us. It's not aimed at, here, Lord Kapila is speaking to Devahuti. It's not aimed at Devahuti. She's not in that sort of danger, or, you know, so many others. Yeah, Krishna's speaking to Arjuna. It's not exactly aimed at Arjuna, it's aimed at us. Arjuna is the eternal associate by the Lord's arrangement placed in illusion, but it's all under control. And it's not that Arjuna is really going to sort of lose it. It's all part of Krishna's special plan to help us through apparently helping Arjuna. So yes, so we see how Krishna did it. Krishna did it very nicely. He did it very strongly, but he did it very nicely. He didn't start shouting and screaming at Arjuna, as sometimes may happen in the neophyte devotee sort of realm. One devotee actually told me that, I won't mention the name, he's known to us, that he had been back, way back in Prabhupada's time, he had been preaching in South India, making life members, and extremely successful, such a nice reception, and collecting so much Lakshmi and engaging so many people. And he came back to Mumbai, and met Prabhupada and explained what had happened, how everything had gone so nicely to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was sort of, you know, he was responding, but he was definitely not like, oh, really? He was just, good, something like that. And the devotee finished the report and said to Prabhupada that, you know, Srila Prabhupada, it was so nice. It was such a wonderful experience. But sometimes I still feel the influence of Maya. You know the story. And Prabhupada just said, you are always in Maya. Which sort of popped his bubble of, you know, how ecstatic I am and how successful and all. Because whether we like it or not, we are still in Maya. At least if we consider that we are so prone to being attached to the body and identifying with the body. And who here has got like perception of the soul? No. We are still deeply influenced by tamagun. Actually, we really are. And if we're not careful, we become even more influenced, and rajagun, and yeah, things can become shaky or worse. So how is it that we're continuing then? If we're still in this condition, we are continuing only by mercy, really. Some strand of sincerity, or, you know, if nothing else, in some cases, a feeling like, I've got nowhere else to go. How can I stop practicing Krishna consciousness? I'm too old, you know. I'm too old to go out and get a job and all that, you know. So what to do? Got to carry on. So there's definitely some thread of sincerity, but there's an awful lot of mercy which allows us to continue on, and even sometimes not just continue on, but actually things can be very nice. We can be very happy sometimes. We can be very happy. And by Krishna's mercy, we can become very absorbed in his service. For example, chanting. Every day we're chanting. And if we really apply ourselves to the chanting, then actually every day the chanting can be very nice. If we just mumble around and sort of, you know, whatever, something like that. That's another thing. Don't worry. That's another thing. But if we really focus and chant, and chant and hear the chanting and really give our attention, then every day it can be a very nice experience, actually, and an enriching experience, which feeds our faith and our appreciation of Krishna, of Krishna consciousness, of the process, the activities of devotional service, the association of the devotees. All these things can become deepened if we really engage ourselves like that to the best of our ability, and Krishna gives his mercy, which he's ready to do. But, you know, you can't mess around too much with Krishna. If you don't want to get serious about it, sooner or later Krishna's going to start seeing you get some kicks. What we used to call, when we were new devotees, in England, where, you know, the royal family at least still exists, we used to call it the Royal Order of the Boot. Oh, yeah. Wow. It's so hard. So many problems and like that. So we really have to hold on, we have to really grasp and then hold on to these very foundational conceptions, right down to, what am I? We have to keep reminding ourselves. I mean, not every minute, but at least every day or every so many hours or whatever, just a little stock take. Who am I? What am I? What am I doing? How should I be doing it? You know, just a minute or more also of reflection. And in this way we can keep the focus, this type of focus, as Prabhupada is describing here, that by the understanding of the pure soul called Satyadrit, One can see everything as a reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada gives a concrete example. The conditioned soul sees a beautiful rose and thinks how it would be nice for him or her. This is one kind of vision. A liberated soul, however, or the serious devotee, sees the same flower as a reflection of the Supreme Lord and thinks, this beautiful flower is made possible by the superior energy of the Lord. Therefore it belongs to him and should be utilized in his service. We need to keep reminding ourselves and from time to time check, am I seeing the situation like this? Or am I getting, you know, as we've mentioned recently a number of times, old habits die hard. You know, if we don't keep reminding the old habits, they just start lifting their heads. So am I seeing these things as the energy of the Lord to be his possessions to be used as a service, or am I just starting to lean in the direction of seeing things like, well, maybe I could use this for me in some way? This is part of the edge of the razor. It's an important part of the edge of the razor. If you ever get to the point of really contemplating how I could enjoy this, whatever, something, for me, means you already gone over the edge, or you're in the process of being cut. But sometimes, you know, when you get cut, or sometimes if you kick your foot, or something of that sort, then the pain doesn't arrive immediately. A few seconds. There's a sort of state of numbness. You realize, wow, you know, like I just hurt myself. But you don't feel it yet. But then it comes. Yeah. So if we go so far away from the proper consciousness, like just what we read here from Prabhupada. If we start moving in the direction of contemplation for our material enjoyment, means cut. But the pain may not have set in yet. But don't worry, when you get cut, you're going to get the pain. So, by Krishna's arrangement. It's all part of Krishna's very merciful, but sometimes for us, you know, quite sort of challenging the whole process of correction and trying to keep us pointed in the right direction. And when necessary, if necessary, bring us back from the wrong direction to the right direction. So with this, Prabhupada says, with this correct vision, one can engage everything in the service of the Lord. And as stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Iha Yasya, well, it's not mentioned here, but I think the verse is Iha Yasya Hariya Darsya Karmana Manasagira Nikulasvapu Yavapyasto Jivan Mukta Sa Uchate. Very famous verse. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One who's engaged everything, his vital energy, his wealth, his intelligence, his words, in the service of the Lord, or who desires to engage all these in the service of the Lord, no matter how he's situated, is to be considered a liberated soul, or satyadrik. Such a man has understood things as they are. So I take you all nice devotees to be satyadrik, these types of, you know, different versions of liberated souls. You're all individuals. So let's keep trying to stay like that. Yeah. And progress. And if we really try like that, then we'll see how more and more mercy comes from the Lord. And life actually becomes more and more blissful in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.